John Lennon sang, "Give Peace a Chance." Mother Teresa once said, "Peace begins with a smile." Wendell Berry wrote, "I come into the peace of the wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free." Lester B. Pearson said, "I am grateful for the opportunities I have been given to participate in that work as a representative of my country, Canada, whose people have, I think, shown their devotion to peace." Stan Lee said, "We live in a diverse society, in fact, a diverse world, and we must learn to live in peace and with respect for each other." And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." These are the words that are on that final window, as I was indicating with the kids in the sanctuary here at St. Andrew's, and wrap up our series on these stained glass windows which adorn the sanctuary here, which we see week in and week out. And this, over these past 7 weeks, we've tried to see these windows a little bit more clearly, to understand the message that is there, the message that is left for us. So today, we look at those words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And so peace, it seems, is the theme for this morning. But this passage from John's Gospel is also about love. And perhaps those two things are inseparable. And so we'll look at both peace and love this morning. But we'll start with peace. Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. That's a reference to Isaiah in the Old Testament. The Gospels themselves never actually call him that. We read in Isaiah, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You'll hear that again on Christmas Eve. It's often read on that night. Peace is often synonymous with Christian values. We are a peaceful people. The earliest Christians were pacifists, refusing to raise arms against the imperial might of Rome. And they were often fed to the lions because they wouldn't acknowledge the Roman emperor as God. And Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And that statement from Jesus, it raises that question that I asked of the kids. What does the peace that comes from Jesus look like? Often, when we think of peace, it's in response to war. We seek peace, not war. The language of peace is often surrounded by conflict. Even the expression "peace of mind" insinuates that we seek peace of mind because our lives are in turmoil, that we are in conflict with something that we seek an escape and peace from. And so what does peace look like? What does peace mean to you? And what does peace from Jesus look like? An important clue might be in those words that Jesus then speaks. "I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus does not give as the world gives. Jesus gave his life to break cycles of violence, demonstrating a path of least resistance and passivity. This doesn't mean Jesus wasn't passionate about issues or causes, or that he chose to ignore injustice. Quite the opposite. Jesus taught a message of love rooted in an understanding of a compassionate God. A message of peace which taught us to love our neighbors, which sought love rather than conflict. Which brings us back to those first words that Jesus speaks in this passage that Trevor read to us this morning. If you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, I will be honest. Most of the time when I hear words like this, it sends alarm bells off in my mind. If you love me, there's a but there. They speak of relationships that are often built on poor power dynamics, using love as a weapon to elicit behavior. And so we might ask the question, what commands is Jesus talking about? If you love me, keep my commands. Okay, Jesus, what commands are you talking about? And if we look at the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we might find a whole slew of commands from Jesus to turn the other cheek, to forgive 77 times, and so on and so on. However, if you're reading John's Gospel, where these words, if you love me, keep my commands, are found, if you're reading John's Gospel, Jesus only gives us one command, just one. And it's found in the chapter before what we read today. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Those are words that are found in the preceding chapter from what we read today. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. And if you go forward one more chapter, into chapter 15, you'll read, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one will have greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's the command that Jesus has for us. If we love him, we'll love other people. It's really rather simple. And that's also, I think, the peace that Jesus leaves for us, a lasting love, a request to love one another, and that by doing so we will gain a peace which surpasses all understanding. See, in John's Gospel, everything that Jesus does is tied around this commandment to love. I mean, if you want to think in terms of judgment and in terms of eternity, then realize that the judgment and the eternity for John, they've already begun. It's a now, not a then. We are already in the moment, for Jesus has commanded us to love. The command to love is tied up in a worldview that John presents to us in his gospel. It is central to John's understanding of Jesus and how we are called to follow Jesus. It's a powerful, powerful theme in this fourth gospel. Words for love are used 57 times in John's gospel. And there's five Greek words for love, but 57 times those five words are used. And that tells us something important. See, when John was writing to his community of faith, he was trying to let them know that they weren't called to merely imitate Jesus, but rather to remind them that they were to participate wholly in that ministry that Jesus has called all of us to. And so we are also not called just to imitate Jesus, but to participate fully in God's kingdom. For John, that work has already started, and it is ongoing through the calling and the coming of the Holy Spirit, who is also introduced in this passage, our comforter, advocate, counselor, and helper. To follow Jesus isn't to imitate him. It is to participate fully in a transformative love which can change the world. To accept the peace that Christ has left for us and let the world know that that peace is also available for them. That we can all live in peace. It sounds cliche, but we can all live in peace and harmony. We really can. We can live with an understanding with one another and with our neighbors, even those that we disagree with. We can do that. Despite any differences between us, we can live together in the peace that Christ gives to us. For it is sufficient. Thanks be to God. Amen.